On my first day as mayor of this great city, I promised to make tough choices and face the hard truths we had not confronted, even when it hurts. Every day for the past 7.5 years, that is what I've tried my level best to do. As much as I love this job and will always love this city and its residents, I've decided not to seek re-election. This has been the job of a lifetime, but it is not a job for a lifetime.
Here's my view. I'm not really interested in what people say on day one. It's not why, I'm reminded of what Teddy Roosevelt said about the critic versus the people in the arena. For people that sit on the outside and never actually have the guts to get in the arena and try and make something happen.
Jump in the pool.
No, people who live within the cozy comfort of a column, I don't really have a lot for.
Ah, Kyrie eleison, sung by a children's choir. A group of civilized English schoolboys, a bit afraid, singing to keep up their spirits. They're marooned on an island. It's from a film of the great novel, Lord of the Flies. And that other voice, the one that's not singing Lord Have Mercy? You know that voice. It belongs to the soon-to-be former mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who just pulled out of the campaign. Ah, Rahm doesn't like me? That's too bad. He's cute, though. But Rahm is a one-eyed jack, and Chicago has seen the other side of his face, and now he's gone. There's so much to talk about today. The civility and grace of the people of Florence. An angry reader takes issue with the size of my head. Yeah, my head. I'm possessed of a big damn head, full of air, and a small hoof of brains. It's true. But first, let's break down the race for mayor, as it stands now that Rahm is pulled out of the campaign. It's Lord of the Flies time again, Chicago. I know you're not interested in the spin being handed out by knaves to fools. You're interested in the real stuff of politics. And with Rahm out, how's he going to play it? And what about those new candidates coming in? The ones who didn't have the guts to face him at first, and now that he's gone, they found courage. What did Blagojevich used to call it? Testicular fortitude. I guess that applies to women and men. Does Chicago politics once again devolve into the city of tribes? You know, the black candidate, the white candidate, the Latino candidate, ethnic politics, tribal anger. And where does the money come from to shape it? And how does Rahm's exit complicate things for the other candidates? And who plays behind the scenes, pulling strings? And who stands out front on the chessboard, like pawns or kings? Jeff Carlin, the brilliant co-host here and producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVolantis, dropped in the sound montage on top. The Lord of the Flies choir and Rahm not having the decency to mention my name. Jeff, a genius with sound, did it perfectly. Hat tip, Mr. Carlin. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, meek, mild-mannered, syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. The future of a great city is at stake. You've decided that you're tired of being played by politicians and their biscuit eaters who shape the news. You want insight. You want real information. You look around. You see that you're on a street that needs paving. The curbs are crumbling. The streetlights are dim. There are only a few people out here in the dark. The survivors on this street learn to read the whispers of guys who never move their lips when they've got something to say. I know that street. I've spent my life learning it. And you know it too. That's why you're here. It's the Chicago way. And this is the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
So first, pleasantries out of the way. Welcome to the Chicago Way podcast. We hope you find us on iTunes, write a great review, find us elsewhere on the web. Just download it on your phone. It's free. Subscribe. It's free. Plug it into your car or into your ears on your commute on the train. It's that easy. New listeners come every day. We do two a week. So if you're new, you're probably shocked about the news the other day that Rahm Emanuel pulled out of the race. But for those of you who aren't new, you heard all about how it might happen weeks ago, right here on, where else? The Chicago Way. The reason he's out, he was going to lose. And the guys behind the guy don't want to lose control. They want to maintain control. So he steps down. It was the police video of that white cop, Jason Van Dyke, shooting black teenager Laquan McDonald 16 times. The Rahm administration saw the video. They hid the video until after Rahm was safely reelected in 2015. When Chicago found out, people were angry about being manipulated. Black Chicago particularly. And with the Van Dyke murder trial beginning at criminal court this week, and Rahm knew he'd have to wear the political jacket for any fallout, any violence on the street, and all that anger, and again, the guys behind the guy did not want to lose control. They want to keep control. So Rahm pulled the plug, and now what? I've been out today already, driving to coffee shops, meeting guys, meeting people in one bar, two coffee shops actually, talking politics. And now I'm back here in the tomato garden, thinking about it, writing a new column. But I thought I'd talk it out with you first, if that's okay. Rahm knows he screwed up the plans of the serious candidates for mayor, like Paul Vallis and Lori Lightfoot. I just got off the phone with Lori. She doesn't think much of some of the media coverage. "It disturbs me," she said, "to see the media focus solely on the horse race and the powers that be anointing a winner without regard for the citizens. This notion that city government and the mayor's office is pirate booty ripe for the picking is offensive." Yes, Lori, I agree. Pirate booty as government is offensive. But that's politics. At least that's politics here. I talked to Vallis, too. Vallis is asking about those other candidates getting in, some of the big names. You know, they front it off, they whisper it out. And he noted they didn't have the guts to challenge Rahm, but we did. And you're right, too, Paul. They didn't have the guts, but that's politics. Now Rahm is out, they have the guts. And it's Lord of the Flies time, baby. Yeah, it's fair to consider that the rumored new candidates, they're going to add to a massive field of 12 announced candidates in the context of pirate booty and the lack of guts. The new ones thinking about coming in, they're opportunists. They play it safe. And that should be repeated and understood. And what about former President Barack Obama, blessed be his name? He could have endorsed Rahm. He could have given Rahm a big bro hug, put his arms around him, saying, "Hey, man, I'm here. Thanks for that $500 million temple of love." And he could have said to the people, "Hey, you know, Rahm is doing a great job. I know he's got some problems with the Laquan video and all that, but he's really doing a great job." But you know what? Barack Obama didn't do that. It's what they don't do, what they don't say, that's the story. Now, with new candidates coming in, Barack Obama could just reach down, grab a handful of clay, spit on it, and, like the demigod he is, breathe life into a Valerie Jarrett or an Arne Duncan, and bingo, you've got your candidate with black support. Would that work? People like to get played, don't they? Now, some candidates are serious, some are not serious. Even the new ones, they just want their names in the paper. But here are two that you should be thinking about. Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle, I call her Toni Taxwinkle, she's thinking about it seriously. She's the Cook County Democratic Party chairman. And if she does make a move, she'll first cut a deal with her successor for support in the mayor's race. Now, the last time a Cook County Democratic Party chairman became mayor, he ruled the city with an iron fist. His name? Richard J. Daley. And Tony Taxwinkle, who talks about being so progressive, she's just a boss, with her protege, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, as her wingman. Yes, Tony would be formidable. Just imagine a mayor with control of the Democratic Party political apparatus and control of the prosecutor's office, meaning control of subpoenas and grand juries. Can you say the Preckwinkle machine? Because if she gets in, that's what you'll have. Another is Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza. She's smart, she's tough, she has a great, lively personality. You remember when she chased John Quarters Boyle down after a car accident? He's with the Coalition for Better Government. That's a group of political tough guys who smell of Paco Rabanne. And she made sure that he was taken to court. Mendoza is a protege of Mike Madigan, though she hates me saying it, and her people hate me saying it, and they call me up every time I say it, and then I tell them, okay, what else is going on? She was also a co-chairman, co-campaign chairman for Rahm in the last election. Her opponents would like to link her to Rahm. They'll link her with what Rahm has said in the past about immigration, when he sounded more like President Trump than Mayor Zorro of Sanctuary City. Mendoza is a Latina, a Democrat, and she could have what remains of organizational support from Boss Madigan and the four or five wards that can still deliver on the South Side. And in a close race in a large field with her personality and Latina background and those four or five wards, that could get her into the runoff. Of course, she won't say a word about this until after the election in November. If she wins statewide, I think she will. She'll have Madigan backing and money, and she might have Pritzker backing too. And Rahm said the other day on WGN Radio that the candidate who will win has not yet announced. I heard it myself. Justin Kaufman asked him, "Who is it?" And Rahm said, he went all Bill Clinton on Kaufman and said, "It all depends on what the meaning of is. I'm not kidding. He said it. Rahm's money guy, Michael Sachs, who does big pension investments and has great influence with the Chicago Sun-Times, bought by the AFL-CIO, and Michael Sachs has hired AFL-CIO chairman Jorge Ramirez. Michael Sachs is all about Rahm. But he's also all about Michael Madigan, too. Keep that in mind. Keep what Rahm Emanuel said in mind on WGN about the meaning of is. Keep it all in mind if you don't want to be played. I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I wasn't doing that a few weeks ago when I told you Rahm would pull out because of the Jason Van Dyke, Laquan McDonald business. Now, if you like being herded like livestock at the old Union Stockyards where I was born, then just forget what I said. As for the others, the ones who did have the guts to challenge Rahm, people like Paul Vallis, Lori Lightfoot, Jamal Green, Troy LaRavier, Willie Wilson, Gary McCarthy, and I'm not going to say Goat Lady Brown because I'm still waiting for more federal paper on whether there were goats. I don't think there were goats. I think she just made money on a lack of goats. But I did talk to a guy who knows politics. I've known him for 30 years. He's always been fair. He's always plugged in. He says this: "I guess I'd expect the race to devolve to tribal primaries. Who becomes the black candidate, the Hispanic candidate, the white candidate? But nobody has the heft to anoint those candidates or be those candidates. This will definitely be a money primary. Who has the money? So where does the Sachs crowd put its bucks? In an Obama primary, come to think of it, the only one who could have the juice to anoint a mayor might be Obama. And he wouldn't have to endorse," says my friend. He just have to make it known that, say, Arnie is his candidate. I think it was a bad day for everybody who was already in the field, including Paul, when Rahm pulled out. They all needed to run against Rahm. One of them would get to be the nobody alternative to the disliked somebody. And now they have to do it on their own. That's probably the smartest take on politics I've heard. Smarter than the one I put in the paper the other day. They've all had to change their campaigns now. Vallis knows it, Lightfoot and the others. Their campaigns were about punching Rahm, and now Rahm sits back, pretending not to be involved, but he'll have his fingers in there pulling the strings. Remember what he said to WGN? It all depends on what the meaning of is, or something like that, something very Bill Clinton. You throw in all the other candidates, and everybody starts scrambling, trying to piece together new coalitions. And they'll appeal to those coalitions on ideas, but on ethnicity, too. And then what do you have? Like I said in the paper, it's the Lord of the Flies in the City of Tribes.
There's a lot of questions about it. Have you talked with your political allies, your fundraisers, about a succession plan, about some other candidate that's not in the race right now that may be someone who
Wouldn't you like to know?
Of course, yeah.
No, so here's
I think the people of Chicago would like to know.
How about this? Is the next mayor of Chicago already in the race?
No. That's not my,
No, they're not, or no, you're not answering the question?
It depends what the word is means. What is the meaning of his?
Is the next mayor here's the thing. In the race yet?
I don't think so.
I know some of you probably are saying, why aren't you talking about the big New York Times story? You know, the op-ed written by Anonymous, writing from inside the Trump administration on how these noble creatures are trying to stop and thwart Trump's agenda from inside the government. You don't put your name on it? It's really not worth it, is it? It's like Twitter. When you see a person with a cartoon head and a fake name. I mean, are you supposed to take it seriously? I guess the New York Times is. I don't know. I'd much rather see the New York Times take that leaker's information, confirm it with two or three sources, unlike CNN, and write stories about specific policy. But to give someone an anonymous op-ed page, anonymous op-ed column, I don't know. Would they do the same for someone working for Hillary Clinton's administration or for Liz Warren's administration or for President Bernie Sanders? I really don't think so. There's another story I have to talk about. It involves the city of Florence cracking down on visitors who eat on sidewalks, doorsteps, driveways during lunch or dinner. Yes, these barbarians, they just sit around, eat out of a paper bag, eating street food. They don't even sit in a cafe like human beings. No, they have to stand up and sit on the ground, and probably from youth hostels, and they have body odor, I can imagine. Ugly Americans, ugly Germans, ugly what, Brits, something like that. And this bothers the mayor, Mayor Dario Nardella. And he's instituted a fine of 500 euros, $575, aimed at combating boorish tourists, unquote. Boorish tourists. This means that if you eat in Florence in certain streets and not eat in the cafe, but eat on the side, standing in a doorway like a bum, or sitting on a stoop like a bum, you will be fine. I guess the idea is to take all these people and send them to Sweden where they can walk in the woods. But I've just seen a movie about British tourists walking in the woods in Sweden. It's called The Ritual. If you want to sleep at night, you will not watch this movie. I swear to God, it's scary. And it gets even scarier when you see the creature in the woods kind of like a gigantic elk with human baby hands sticking out of its face. I just can't get it out of my mind. I haven't been sleeping for days because of this. There's another story, too, besides the cafe story, the Boris Tour story. And that is the story of my big damn head. I got this email the other day, this morning, actually, and I put it on Facebook. It's a reader fan mail from Ron K. Ron tells me that my head is too damn big. I have a big head, and he's upset. What can I do? My head is full of hot air, a small hoofta of brain, maybe like half a hoofta, half of a palm of brain. It's not my fault. It was the way I was born. Here he says, John, so happy for you. You, he doesn't write out you, it's like the letter U. You get to write commentary on the ensuing mayoral race. Nothing like job security. However, I do have to bitch about your picture in today's column. Your puss is as big as Ram's puss. Are you that important in the Trib's view? It really appears so egotistical. I mean, come on, Ron K. Dear Ron, Rahm Emanuel and I have different sized heads. He has a very tiny head. I have a rather large head. It's not his fault. It's not my fault. It's the way we were born. Don't hate on our heads, man. We can't do anything about it. For Jeff Carlin, WGN Radio producer of The Rokon Show with Anna DeVolantis. And for me, John Cass, meek, mild columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the Chicago Way.